Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, we read of how Jesus, having been tried and falsely accused, was taken away at the will of the people to be crucified. Verse 25 says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews." And then in verse 33 we read, "Having hung there for 3 hours in the light, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Verse 33, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. We read of this darkness at the cross between the sixth and the ninth hour, this 3 hours of darkness. We read of this in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel here in chapter 15, and also in Luke's Gospel. They provide a threefold testimony to this darkness that came over the land whilst Christ hung upon the cross. This darkness that testified in a physical sense to what was going on spiritually as Christ hung and suffered and died in the place of his people. The darkness that came over the sun as the light of the sun was taken away because of what happened to the Son of God as he hung and died upon the cross. There was darkness. Yes, each of these gospel writers records this remarkable event, because it was remarkable that there was darkness for 3 hours. All those who beheld Christ crucified, all those who had previously passed by in the light and mocked him and reviled him and jeered at him, the soldiers who had arrayed him in purple and put upon his head a crown of thorns and mocked him as the King of the Jews, the chief priests and the scribes who derided him as he hung in the light and said he saved others, himself he cannot save, the multitude who had cried out, "Release unto us Barabbas, but away with this man, crucify him." The mob that looked on and saw this innocent man hanging upon a cross and dying. All those who saw this man upon the cross in the light then saw the light of the sun taken away. And for 3 hours, there was darkness over the whole land. How significant this is and how everyone who was there at the time would have noticed it. Just as Christ was being crucified, whom they rejected, so the light of the world, the sun, was darkened. How terrible it must have seemed. How strange. How they would have been aware that something very unusual was going on. There was never darkness in the middle of the day like this. And yet on this day, as this man, the King of the Jews, whom they rejected, hung upon the cross, there was darkness from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. And so remarkable and significant was this, as one of the events that occurred on that day and at that time, that Matthew, Mark and Luke in their Gospels all recorded. But John in his Gospel makes no mention. In John's Gospel there is no mention of these 3 hours of darkness. He mentions the crucifixion. He mentions the cross. He mentions various facts concerning it. He mentions Jesus' cry at the end, that it is finished, and how he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But there's no mention of the darkness. So why do Matthew, Mark and Luke all record this when John doesn't? Why did John, as led by the Holy Ghost, choose not to record the darkness at the cross? Well, Matthew sets forth Christ as the promised Messiah, the one who should come of the line of David, as he who is born a son of David, a descendant of David, as promised, as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Mark presents Christ unto us in the light of a servant or a messenger of God, an apostle of God. The apostle, the messenger, the servant of God. And Luke presents Christ unto us in his gospel as the saviour of his people. But in each, they present him in the light of being the Son of God, made man, born a man. They present unto us his humanity. He is the Son of Man. Yes, he's the Son of God in each gospel, but they present him particularly in view of being the Son of God as a man upon this earth. He comes as the Messiah, the King, a descendant of David. He comes as a servant, the Son of God, who humbled himself and took upon himself human flesh and was born of Mary and lived in this world as a real man. And Luke presents him to us as that Saviour born of Mary, but a man. But John, whilst recording the fact that God, that Christ is indeed a man also, shifts the focus very much towards the divinity of Jesus Christ. Each gospel recognizes Christ to be both the Son of God and the Son of Man. But whereas the first three give a threefold witness, as it were, to his humanity, the Son of God as a man. John presents this man as being divine. John very much presents Christ unto us in various signs as being God, the Son of God, divine. And as God, he presents him as the light of God. The light of God that comes into this world, into the darkness of this world. The darkness which received him not. In his 12th chapter, John states this, records this, these words of Christ, which summarize this. When Christ says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And in John's Gospel, Christ is very much presented to us as this light, as the Son of God, as the light of God come into a dark world. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In John's Gospel, Christ, the Son of God, enters this world as the light entering the darkness. Other than the view of Christ throughout John's Gospel, everything else in that Gospel is seen to be darkness. He comes into the darkness, and everything else is darkness. And yet in Christ there is no darkness. He is the light and the only light. And John, through the various accounts and signs he presents unto us of Christ, presents a view of the magnificent light of God. He shines through every page. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The context in John's Gospel is that everything in Christ is light and everything else is darkness. Therefore, when he comes to the cross and the account of Christ on the cross, there's no need for him to mention the darkness that came upon the world, because in the context in John, the world was already dark. Everything was dark. The only light is he who was crucified. And John would have us look upon Christ upon the cross as the Son of God and the light of God, shining forth in magnificence even at the cross, whilst all around him is darkness. So he has no need to draw attention to the darkness that came about at that point, because his view is of Christ in his divinity. All that he shows throughout all the Gospel is Christ as light and everything else as darkness. Whereas in the other three Gospels, who follow Christ more in the light of him as a man, the darkness that came about at the cross is singled out, because it signified what happened to him in his manhood upon the cross. It singled out what came about as Christ bore the sins of his people. As Christ, as a man, bore the sins of other men. As Christ, in his manhood, was made sin. As Christ suffered and died as a man. In John's Gospel, he presents unto us the person of the Son of God, the life, the eternal life of God, the light of God. And even when the Son of God, as a man, suffered upon the tree and bore the sins of many, and was made sin in the place of sinners, that could do nothing to his perfection as God. The light still shone. It may have been shrouded in darkness. It may have been covered in the humanity, the manhood of Christ, which in those hours bore the sins of the elect, and in those hours was made sin. The judgment and wrath of God against sin may indeed have come down upon Christ in those hours. But in John's presentation of Christ at the cross, he's still the Son of God. He's still the light of the world. And the darkness around about could do nothing to take it away. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The darkness, as recorded by the other three, in the other three Gospels, pictures the sin and death and condemnation of sin, which has come into this world through the rebellion of man. And it pictures the substitutionary atonement, the sacrifice of Christ in bearing that sin and bearing the judgment and suffering the death that sin brings in. And so the Gospels tell us of the darkness that there was. But for John, nothing could conceal the light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John's Gospel, there was darkness from chapter 1 and verse 1 through to the very last chapter of his book. Everything outside of Christ was darkness. At the cross, before the cross, when he bore the sins of his people, when he walked in the darkness of his people, everything around was darkness. There was only light in Christ. But in the other Gospels, they draw the attention to how this man was made sin, and how the darkness came upon him. How the darkness came upon him as a man, and how he bore the sins of his people. Yes, as a man, he was a sin bearer. Yes, as a man, he was made sin. But as God, he was light. Eternal light. Everlasting light. That could never be darkened. Could never be darkened. There was darkness. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land. Until the ninth hour, there was darkness. Why darkness? We read of darkness in many places in the scripture. Throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, you will often read a contrast between light and dark. Often you will read references to darkness. And in various places it is mentioned. It is singled out to draw our attention to what is figured by darkness in this world. Abraham, when he met with his God, was given a vision of what God would bring to pass. God promised unto Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, that his, out of his loins the seed would come, and the seed would bring with him a great nation. And God showed unto Abraham in type and figure and promise how he would bring this to pass, how he would bring an offering for sin into this world, how he would offer up his own son. And God took Abraham aside, and on one day, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And in the darkness, Abraham was brought to see what would happen, what must happen, in order to deliver him and his people from their sins. In order to deliver him and his descendants, him and all those like him who would be brought to believe on the Son of God from their sins. Abraham was shown a great horror of darkness, and he could see in the darkness what would come about to the seed that God promised would come. What would come about upon his Saviour? There would be darkness. In Exodus, Moses, having been told to bring the people out of Egypt, was by the hand of God used to bring many plagues upon Egypt, to show unto Pharaoh and the Egyptians the almighty power of God. And one of the plagues, one of the most terrifying plagues which came upon Egypt, was the darkness that God brought upon the land. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Darkness for 3 days. How terrifying for the Egyptians, but what a picture of the gospel. What a picture of what God would bring about when his son suffered upon the cross. That his son must go into thick darkness to deliver his people. God delivered the physical Hebrews, the Israelites, out of the hand of Egypt through Moses, and brought them out with his mighty hand. But as a picture of what he would do, and as a picture of what he would do in Christ to deliver the spiritual Israelites, he sent this sign unto Pharaoh of thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. But why darkness? Because the darkness showed the sin of mankind. The darkness showed the utter depravity of man outside of God. And how God has repeatedly shown us in the scriptures the contrast between the righteousness and the holiness and the glory of God himself as shown forth in the light and the light of the sun. And the depravity, the rebellion, the sinfulness, the iniquity of man has set forth in the darkness. In the beginning of creation, God said, "Let there be light." And he divided the light from the darkness. And he divided the night from the day. And he put them into different realms. And he set forth a division. And the division between night and day set forth in this world, the division between the light and the dark, the division between good and evil, the division between God and man that sin has brought in. Where are you? Where are you? Where do you dwell? Are you walking in the light? Are you coming to the light? Has God brought you by his gospel to the light? Has he led you unto Jesus Christ? Or are you left in the darkness? Are you choosing to dwell in the darkness? Do you love sin? Do you love the things you do in the dark? The darkness is a picture of the sinfulness of man and the judgment that comes upon it, the consequences of sin, the death that sin has brought into the world. When God came unto the people of Israel, when he came unto Moses in Exodus 20 upon Mount Sinai to deliver the law unto the people, to deliver that law that would show them their sin and demonstrate unto them their sin and show them the division between the righteousness of God and the righteousness he demands of mankind if ever they're to know eternal life and spare the judgment and wrath of God, and the sinfulness of man. He came upon Mount Sinai and delivered the law. But that mount was shrouded in darkness. We read that the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now God himself is light. And yet at Sinai we read that God dwelt in the darkness. He was in the darkness upon the mount because of the division between man and God, between good and evil, between sinners and a holy and a righteous God. Our sin has separated us. It has estranged us from a holy God. And to get to the light, you must go beyond the darkness. God at Sinai was shrouded in thick darkness. You couldn't find your way to him because of the darkness that was there. Read in Deuteronomy, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Although God was there, although the fires of God's wrath came forth, burning forth from the light of God and the righteousness of God, all around that was darkness. The people couldn't get unto him because their sins separated them. And the judgment of God, the justice of God, came down upon their sins as a darkness through which they could not escape. Hence Solomon says, the Lord said that he should dwell in the thick darkness. Oh, how remarkable that he who is light should dwell in thick darkness. And at the cross, when God, as Christ, the Son of God, came to deliver his people from sin, he came in a very real sense and dwelt in the thick darkness. He came as a man in the darkness of this world, in the sinfulness of this world, in the death of this world. He walked amongst living corpses. He walked amongst the living dead. He walked amongst these people who think they live when they're dead, when they're dead in trespasses and sins. He came into the darkness of this world and felt the thick darkness all around him every day. And the darkness was all around. Every person that passed him was dark, dark with sin, dark with evil, dark with rebellion, dark with their rejection and unbelief of him. He came as the light of God and moved through the darkness of this world. And when he came to the cross, and the darkness of this world came upon him, and as a crowd they shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him." They, as it were, came like a bandage and wrapped around him and wrapped around tighter and tighter. And the darkness came closer and closer unto the light of God. Until ultimately they took him. And they took him and crucified him. And God took him. And seeking to deliver that people who dwelt in darkness from their sin, from death, from judgment, he took their darkness, he took their sin, he took their iniquity, and he laid it upon his own son. Oh, how the darkness came right upon him. The Lord said that he should dwell in the thick darkness. What is it for God to dwell in thick darkness? It's for God, the light, to enter in Christ, to enter into the darkness of this world and to take the sin of this world upon himself in judgment. Oh, the darkness. If you know not Christ, if God by his gospel does not awaken you to your condition and lead you by the gospel unto he who is the light of the world, if he does not bring you as one of those who believe on him, that you should no longer abide in darkness, then darkness is where you will remain. And the shadow of death is where you will dwell. You will dwell in the shadow of death. In Job, in that book where Job, an upright man who feared God, was tested and tried and brought down low, where he lost all things that he had in this world. He lost family and friends. He lost his riches. He lost all that he had, and he lost his health. He'd had everything taken away except the beating of his own heart. In Job, as he reasons and as he answers the friends, the companions, who so-called friends who come upon him and accuse him of being a great sinner, accuse him of having done things to bring this trouble upon him, as he sits there in his travail and torment, he speaks often of the darkness, seeing the evil so closely, seeing the consequences of sin so powerfully, seeing how there is nothing in this world if you haven't got Christ. Job spake often of the darkness. And he related the darkness to death. He knew that sin brought the darkness. He knew that sin brought down judgment. And he knew that the ultimate end of man, if left in the darkness, would be to die and to go into outer darkness forevermore under the judgment and wrath of God. He knew there was no escape from it. He knew there was nothing he could do to escape from it. He knew that his only hope was in God and his mercy. It says in chapter 10, "Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death." A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. It may seem dark here in this world at times. You may at times, if God opened your eyes in any sense, see the consequence of sin and see the depravity of sin and see how dark it is. You may often feel in this world, in the events in this world, in the troubles and trials of this world, you may see a darkness. But there comes a world. There will come a time. There will come a place upon you, if you know not Christ, where there is darkness greater than any darkness you can imagine. Where there's no escape. Where sin brings its ultimate punishment. Where there's no light. As Job says, even the light is as darkness. There's no light whatsoever. God doesn't dwell there. All you feel in that place is the wrath and judgment of God. You feel, as it were, his heel crushing you. But you can never see his face. There's no light in that place. Job felt it coming. Job could sense that that's where he'd go. Except God showed him mercy. But in the end, Job knew the mercy and love of God. He knew what it was to be brought to the light. He knew what it was to be delivered. He knew what it was to be delivered and given sight to see, and to see things as they are, and to see things in the gospel as they are, and to see the truth as it is, and to see Christ as he is. Oh, can you see through the darkness to the light? Because that's the thing about darkness. When you're in the darkness, you can't see. You just can't see in the dark. And those that dwell in the darkness of this world, sinners in this world, they just can't see. They think they see, they say that they see, but they can't see. They don't judge anything aright. If you go out into the world and ask people what they think of God, what they think of the gospel, what they think of life, what they think about this or that, all their judgments, all their answers are darkness. They have no clue. They have no clue who God is. They have no clue what they are. They have no clue why things are as they are. They have no clue what's coming in the future. All their reasoning, all their judgment, all their thoughts are wrong. They're blind. They're in the darkness. They cannot see. And that's where you are. Except God open your eyes by the gospel. Everything's dark. It's dark in this world, and it was dark at the cross. When the darkness came upon Christ from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, those who were there could not see. They couldn't see in the dark. For 3 hours, from the third hour to the sixth hour, they'd beheld Christ upon the cross and they'd mocked him. They'd rejected him. They'd laughed at him. They'd railed at him. But then darkness came and they couldn't see. They couldn't see he was taken from their view. And they couldn't see what happened in the darkness. They couldn't see him and they couldn't see what was going on. They didn't know why. For 3 hours, there was darkness. For 3 hours, God laid upon his own Son the sins of his people. He made him to be sin in their stead, and he poured out his wrath upon him. He judged their sin in his own Son, but no one could see it. They didn't know the most spiritual of events was going on before them. The most miraculous of events was going on before them. The most tremendous and important of events in all time and eternity, in all history, was happening before their very eyes, and they couldn't see. And so it is like that with the gospel. When the gospel's preached to you and you sit in darkness and blindness, the most important words that could ever be uttered unto you and to your soul, the most important truths you could ever be presented with, the most vital facts that you could hear, the most important things for your life that you could ever be told concerning Jesus Christ and His salvation, concerning deliverance from sin, concerning deliverance from death and condemnation, are presented in the gospel. Lo, here is my Son, God says. Lo, here is my Son, hear ye Him. And as you sit in the darkness, you cannot see. You cannot see. Unless God opens your eyes to see the import of what happened in these hours, and to see the import of the gospel and how it concerns you and your soul, how it concerns eternity, how it concerns God, how it concerns you before God and where you stand before God, how it concerns where you're going. Except God opens your eyes to see, then you just sit in the darkness. And except God opens your ears to hear, and to hear His voice, and to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the speech of Christ, the Word of God, who is Christ. Except He causes you to hear Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You just sit in darkness. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Is that darkness over you? Is it over your soul? Is it shrouded over your understanding? Christ, the light of God, came into the darkness of this world. Darkness. Sin, death and judgment was all around Him. He walked in the midst of it. He walked amongst sinners. And He shone in the midst of it. Everything He spake was glorious. It was truth. It set forth the majesty of God and the mercy and the grace of God and the love of God towards sinners and those who heard Him. Unless God opened their hearts to believe, in the end, sat as it were in darkness and said, crucify Him. In the gospel, God sets before you the light of God in Jesus Christ. He shines His light before you. But do you see? This light came into this world. He walked in the midst of the darkness and He shone in the midst of the darkness. But He came into this world for a reason. He came for this day, as recorded in Mark 15. This hour, this time, this place. The darkness was all around Him. But at this hour, when they nailed Him to the tree, when they lifted Him up, as the sixth hour came upon Him, the darkness which was all around Him came upon Him. The sin of sinners which was all around Him was taken and laid upon Him. The sin of the world in which He walked, He was made to be. There was darkness. He took the sins of His people and He bore the sins of His people that He might deliver them from the darkness, that He might bring them into the light, that He might deliver them from death and bring them into eternal life. The darkness that was around Him came upon Him and the light of the sun was taken away. There was darkness. A veil descended upon Christ. A veil of thick darkness came down upon Him. He was made sin. And oh, what Christ endured in that darkness as the veil came down upon Him. Oh, what he suffered in order to deliver his people. Oh, what he endured for those whom he loved, for those who hated him. Oh, what he suffered. The psalmist writes of Christ in Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Selah. Yes, God took his own son, his beloved son, his perfect and innocent son, the light of the world. He took Christ, the Son of God, and laid him in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps, for his people. He was veiled in darkness. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Oh yes, he was veiled in darkness, but the darkness could not keep him. The darkness could not keep the Son of God in the grave, in the deep. The darkness, though it came all over him, though the light of the sun was taken away for those 3 hours, it could not remain dark. He triumphed over it. It could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. He came forth and broke forth, and the veil, as it were, that came upon him was rent in twain from top to the bottom. The veil of the temple, the law of God, the judgment and wrath of God, the thick darkness of Sinai, which came upon him because of the sin that was laid upon him, was rent. It could not keep him, and God, as it were, took the darkness of that veil and rent it from top to bottom and cast it aside, and the light of the Son of God shone forth. A light that could not be concealed, such that the centurion, when he saw, cried out, truly, this man was the Son of God. You cannot conceal this man, because he's God. He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. So in Mark 16 we read, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very, very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Are you yet in the darkness? Is all you seek that which is here below in the darkness? Or do you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified? If you want to know God, if you want to know forgiveness, if you want to know deliverance from your sin, if you want to know salvation, if you want to know the light of God and eternal life, then you won't find it in the darkness. You'll find it in the gospel, where God displays him and where God takes the veil of the darkness and tears it apart from top to bottom. And the light of God in Christ shines forth, and you, like the centurion, will come unto that light and say, Truly, this man who was crucified was the Son of God. And if you go to the grave, you will find he's not there, but he's risen. He's risen. The Son is risen. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But has God brought you through the darkness and by his grace brought you to see with the centurion the one who is the Son of God? Amen.